Welcome back, world changers, to Marketing Like Jesus, where God knows more about our businesses than we do. This is the show for business leaders that are seeking both a financial and an eternal return on their investments in the marketplace. For those of you that are here for the first time, I'm your host, Darren Scheer, author of the book Marketing Like Jesus and founder of Highbridge Books. If you're a thought leader looking for a way to spread and monetize your ideas, I encourage you to sign up for my upcoming webinar titled 12 Ways to Sell More Books. You can sign up at highbridgebooks.com. This free webinar will happen live on January 8th at 11 a.m. Central Time. On this episode, we're joined by Bruce Dingman, president and owner of the Dingman Company, which is a retained executive search firm serving mid to large size organizations in hospitality, education, Christian nonprofits, manufacturing, technology, senior living, and various other industries. And this is really impressive. Business Week actually ranked Bruce among the top 100 headhunters in the world. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Bruce on the show is because there's something unique about his executive search firm. His company says that they're focused on matching candidates who not only have the right experience and abilities, but also have the right values. So he's recognized not only an opportunity for a great niche in his industry, but it was birthed out of this desire to help place outstanding Christian leaders in high levels of influence. Bruce, welcome to the Marketing Like Jesus podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So I just kind of shared a short bio about you, but please tell us a bit more about yourself and your work with the Dingman Company.
Sure. I came out of the hotel business in 1986 to join my eldest brother, who was ranked number 6 in the entire country among executive recruiters.
Wow.
My brother's actually a generation older than myself, and he retired in 98, and I bought the company, and we've carried on, and we've grown it some. So we've got 4 recruiters plus a staff of 4 support, and we're all evangelical Christians, even though we serve the business secular world as well as Christian organizations.
And one of those 4 is a personal mentor of mine, Rich Kidd, who took me under his wing back when I was in seminary, so I can vouch for the quality of recruiters that you have out there, just in my personal relationship with him. So how does the executive search process work, starting from before you have the client to when the client is actually placed in the company, or when the actual recruit is placed in the client's company or organization?
Sure. First of all, our marketing efforts are really by word of mouth or finding reasons to network with people. So networking is a key part of it. And also the reputation that you have is what oftentimes causes people to contact us. When a company or an organization needs to fill what we call a C-level position, that is a chief executive officer, chief something or other officer, they want to move usually very quickly if they're going to hire a search firm. So they need to think of us rather quickly. And so keeping our name out there in front of them is important, but we do not advertise per se. So
okay,
when we have been hired by a company to go find people for them, it's been done on an exclusive basis. We're the only search firm that they're dealing with. We're going to get paid no matter what happens, but they won't hire us on that basis unless we have a reputation for excellent results. And that is there. So we go out and we find candidates and we get sufficient information from them, have them respond to a questionnaire, and then we actually interview them in person. And something we do that's unusual in the executive search world is we invite the spouse to join in on that interview because nobody knows the candidate better than the spouse does. And the spouse usually wants to know what is the company like, what is the location like, et cetera. And so we include the spouse in order to understand the candidate better, and that's very helpful to us. And then we present the top 4 candidates to our client, and hopefully they find what they're looking for among those top 4. 85% of the time they do, and the other 15% of the time we present more candidates.
Okay.
So it takes anywhere from 3, 4, 5 months for the typical search to from the very beginning until somebody has been hired.
And are you at liberty to share some of the different clients that you've worked for and actually placed those recruits in?
Oh, sure. Be glad to. And our website at dingman.com, that's the easiest place to find us. We'll also have a lot more of that information. Last year, we found the president for Compassion International, which is a $600
Oh, wow.
million dollar organization, as well as we did the senior pastor search at the United Methodist Church in Houston called Chapelwood.
Okay.
And just starting the executive director search for Mount Hermon, a large Christian conference center in Northern California, as well as we found a president for a manufacturing company in Northwest Arkansas called Central States Manufacturing. So we do all sorts of organizations like that. Have actually found presidents for 16 Christian colleges, seminaries, and universities. We've done presidential searches for the ECFA, National Religious Broadcasters, Christian mm-hmm. Leadership Alliance. So pretty significant.
Wow. Well, what percentage of your clients are looking for a, quote, Christian executive? And how do you assess that person's values?
Sure. Well, first of all of our Christian clients in the nonprofit world are looking for a Christian, and sometimes they come out of the business world. So since we do work in the business world that involves Christians, sometimes somebody we know through that is the person who gets the job in the Christian nonprofit. In the secular world, when you're doing work for a for-profit company, it's illegal to discriminate on the basis of faith. So we're very careful. And that is what we do is the opportunity profile that we send out that describes the company. If the owners are wanting a Christian, it'll describe what the values are and where they come from. But we will not say they're looking for a Christian. They're looking for somebody with the right values. The values like integrity, treating people the right way, wanting to give back, a servant leadership, and those sorts of values. And during the process, we present the best candidates. And if the client has seen that a candidate has disclosed that they're attracted because of the Christian values, then that's between the client and the candidate. And we haven't discriminated on the basis of faith as to who was the best candidates. And that works.
Got it. So a church or let's say a Christian school could say, we want a Christian executive, whereas if you're a business, you can't say we want a Christian CEO, or is that on point?
That is correct. You cannot discriminate on the basis of religion except if you are a 501c3 religious organization as defined by the IRS, or you could be accused of religious discrimination and be sued.
Wow. So let's say that you are you're a Christian and you're in charge of, let's say, an HR department, or you're the founder of a Christian company and you're looking for a Christian to take over your company. How do you avoid any religious discrimination lawsuits if in fact you are searching for a Christian executive to take over your company that you worked so hard to build?
Well, you have to look for the Christian faith translates into what values in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those values that you're looking for. And personal chemistry also plays a lot in it. And so
sure.
If the owner of the company is looking for someone who is going to have the right values and personal chemistry, they may have identified by the fact that the person has been going on short-term missions trips or whatever it is that causes them to feel like this person is really got the values that I'm looking for.
Right.
But we, as recruiters, have never been accused of religious discrimination.
Well, that's really impressive. I mean, and considering your commitment to, I mean, obviously you're responsible for getting that client, the right candidate they're looking for. But as part of your own worldview, you would like to see, I would assume you would want to see Christians being placed into these positions. I can imagine how difficult.
There, but let me also say that oftentimes just because they have their faith in the right place, their eternal destiny is settled, doesn't mean they have the rest of their act together. A phrase that my brother coined was a Christian bozo is still a bozo.
I love it. Well, I think that's definitely spot on. So I'm sure it sounds like you've got quite a rigorous process that you take these candidates through to really find out what are they practicing what they preach. I mean, they're not just sort of Christians and name only, got their eternal fire insurance, but they're actually walking the walk.
Does their faith have legs, or are they just a pew sitter?
That's really good. Well, Bruce, let me ask you this question, and I think this is really going to speak to our listeners, regardless of whether they're working in for-profits, nonprofits. But do you view your work as full-time ministry?
I don't believe that you can be a born-again Christian and be a part-time Christian. And so that means that you need to live out your faith where, according to Scripture, you're ever ready to tell of the hope that is within you. But you should be sensitive to the opportunity. So it's only as I talk with people and I sense that there is a spiritual element there that I would then bring forth the spiritual side of things. I remember I was doing a VP of operations search for a timeshare company, and the candidate was living in Atlanta. And I sensed a spiritual side to this gentleman, who was Indian, by the way, from Bombay. And so I said, so where do you go to church? He said, well, on Saturday night, we go to the Catholic church, but on Sunday morning, we go to Andy Stanley's church.
Ah, interesting.
And so I'm very sensitive in regards to approaching this subject because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be accused of religious discrimination. And yet, if I have an opportunity to talk something about my faith, I don't hesitate. And I'm often involved in using Christian principles when talking with someone who's evidently a Christian, because I have to test where their faith walk fits in their business world.
Right. Well, Bruce, what's one of your favorite business principles from the Bible? And specifically, how have you applied this in your business?
The parable of the talents, I think, is one of the most amazing things. There's no place in the scripture where it calls us to be comfortable. The parable of the talents would suggest the opposite, that we should really be trying to work hard to make sure that we maximize what we can do for the Lord. I think that includes having balance to your life. It's not being a workaholic, but it is being very industrious. And so I've done that in my life. And I think the people in my company do that as well. But also, we look for people who, in their leadership, it's not just a 40-hour week job. But on the other hand, we think they're sinning if it's 80 hours.
Yeah. Well, that the parable of the talents is one that's mentioned again and again on this particular podcast. And I think it's because one of the things that's unique about the parable of the talents is that it offers a perspective of God, not only as our friend or as our father, but as a businessman. And that's the picture you get of the master in the parable of the talents. And I think it's one that makes it easier for business people to relate to in a very practical way. So I'm glad you mentioned that one. 39 of the 40 miracles in the book of Acts happened in the marketplace. And Bruce, have you ever seen God work a miracle through your business?
I haven't seen a healing. I have seen organizations transformed, and to me, that can be a miracle as well. I remember when we found the executive vice president for Johnny and Friends, a ministry to the disabled. And Johnny Erickson Tata herself is the CEO, but she really doesn't run the organization. That's not her gifting. And the gentleman that we found for them, Doug Mazza, when we contacted him, we didn't know he had a child in perpetual care. But it gave him such a supreme calling to this type of ministry. And when he joined the organization, they had a $7 million budget. 2 years later, it was a $15 million budget. Now, 10 years later, they're $35 million, and they have built a headquarters, and it's all paid for. And that's just the numerical aspect. If you look at the ministry aspect, you say, wow, what they're doing for the Lord, it's a miracle.
Well, that's definitely a miracle indeed. And I think somebody was applying the parable of the talents and being faithful with that leadership role. And it's incredible that you got to have an opportunity to play a part in that, because I know that ministry is making an impact on many lives around the world. Bruce, besides the Bible, what's one book that you would recommend for every Christian business person?
There's a gentleman who's been retired for quite some time now, who had been president of a large manufacturing company. They created perhaps the most innovative office furniture of any company around, the Herman Miller Company. And Max Dupree was that president. He went on to fund the Max Dupree Institute for Leadership at Fuller Seminary. But he wrote some books, and they're really easy reads. And one is Jazz Leadership and Leadership as an Art. And they're anecdotal, but they really give some good principles, which came out of his life as the president of the Herman Miller Company.
Okay. Well, I'll have the link to that in the show notes for this episode, so we can go in and check that out after the interview. Appreciate you sharing that. As we're wrapping up here, what's one piece of advice that you'd give to today's Christian entrepreneurs that are just starting out in business? And not just entrepreneurs, but business people in general.
Find a good mentor. Somebody whose leadership style and success in business, their faith walk is a very positive one, who will invest in your life. Learn from others. It'll also help you to make sure you're approachable with constructive criticism, because those that won't take constructive criticism don't maximize their potential.
Wow. Powerful mentors. And as I said, I can attest to the caliber of the folks that Bruce has on staff. And Richard Kidd has been one of my mentors through the years, and actually met with him every week for about 2 years. He was the director of campus ministries at Regent University when I was in seminary, and just took the time to meet with me each week, and was there to ask the hard questions. And I completely resonate with what you're saying about the need to find mentors in our lives, and especially in business as well, because that can, some of those mistakes that we make without having those mentors to ask those hard questions can cost thousands or tens or, you know, even more money, that could have been avoided in the first place by just having that wise counsel.
And let me suggest that Christian Leadership Alliance, as an organization, has started as one of their ministries a mentorship program. And I've just signed up for it. And so you will find people like myself there who are willing to be mentors to up and coming future leaders. So if somebody doesn't know where to turn, get acquainted with ChristianLeadershipAlliance.org. And maybe you'll find your mentor there.
And I'll have the link to that website as well. Appreciate you sharing that. Bruce, what's the best place to find you on the internet?
Just dingman.com. It's really easy.
Okay. There we go. Well, Bruce, this has been incredible. So appreciate you taking the time. I know you were just in Abu Dhabi even just yesterday or the day before, and just getting back into the country. Appreciate you taking the time to share your valuable time and expertise with us. Keep doing great things for God in the marketplace.
Love it. Love it. It's so much fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, brother. That's all for this week. You can comment on this episode and get more information about how to apply biblical business principles and strategies at darrencheer.com. Also, if you're a thought leader looking for a way to spread and monetize your ideas, don't forget to register for my upcoming webinar, 12 Ways to Sell More Books. You can register at highbridgebooks.com. This free webinar will happen live on January 8th at 11 a.m. Central Time. Keep doing business God's way and keep marketing like Jesus.